Hear the word today. Awesome.
I'll pass the mic to Melinda. All right. Can you read some scripture for me? No, you can sit here. So we've been talking about building relationship. It comes from Jesus calling us or declaring he will build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail. So the church is a gathering or is gathering, calling out people from the world into his assembly. So when we gather, how do we gather? It is a community. What values do we have? And I love Melinda bringing out that we are guests of honor. Guests of honor in the King's table. Isn't that beautiful? We are guests of honor in the King's table. How do we deal with each other? How do we treat each other? So we get to participate in what kind of community we want. So can we have the first slide? So Marie highlighted last Sunday. I want to bring it up because sometimes a word of prophecy is given to a community and we kind of like, oh, you know. So the Bible says don't treat prophecy with contempt. So take it, meditate on it, test it. So Maria say, God is inviting us to say, hey, are you running out of love? If you do, then the scripture in Romans 5:5 say, hope does not disappoint us. Because when we feel hopeless and helpless, God say, I love you. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given. So I just want to remind you, as Maria sort of highlighted, that he felt the Spirit is saying to us, are you running out of love? Because my tap, my flow of love, do not run out. So today, if you need God's tangible love, it's saying, God, I just needed your touch. In fact, fill me with your love. Next, please. So we talk about the kingdom culture. So the church are supposed to be the custodian of what the kingdom are meant to be. We Christians are taught to pray, our Father who art in heaven. What's the next line? So we are ushering the kingdom, even though Jesus say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So the kingdom has come, but we also keep inviting the kingdom, the heavenly culture to come to influence the earth. So then we build a community because we are better together. There are more forces of love if we come together and then we permeate the community in the earth with its love, with its value, with its culture. That's what we're called to do. You know, it's not just gather in the King's table. We gather and our cups overflow. When it overflows, what does it mean? It means other people will get the benefit of the anointing of oil of joy. Next one, please. Next one, please. Okay. So Christ is calling us to a brotherly and sisterly community. It's quite interesting because I will explain why Paul chose that word. Yes, we are family of God. But brotherly and sisterly, what does it mean? You know, I was talking to someone, you know, sisterhood seems to be, I shouldn't say it, but the brotherhood have a code. You know, when I was in the primary school, four of us get like, okay, we're going to be Swan Brothers, we're going to be Eagles team. You know, that kind of brotherhood team camaraderie. I'm sure sisterhood have that too, all right? But it's not a family of hierarchy. God is saying, no, no, no. When you come together, you all have equal value. That's the beauty of it, equal value. You know, I look at Joseph, he's a bit younger than me in lots of ways, better looking. But we actually have equal value. You know, someone coming from Nepal to Australia, first year, equal value to someone who is true blue Aussie in the kingdom of God, in Christ's community. That is the equality that Jesus said, anyone that comes to the cross at the foothills are all equal. So what does it look like? Next scripture, please. Okay. So this is a scripture that we're going to focus on. So be devoted to one another in brotherly love. All right? I put sisterly because there's more sister than brothers here. So I have to watch myself. And then give preference to one another in honor. So I already say we are equal. All right, we are equal, but then Jesus say, all right, Paul actually say, all right, through Jesus' inspiration and spirit, try to outdo one another in honor. You know, really give esteem value to the person next to you or the across the room. So it's a choice. It's really a choice. You know, you can like be big dude in the kingdom of God, but you choose to honor a young girl from school. How powerful is that? You know, the young ones, you know, we are told children honor your parents and all that. So that kind of is commandment. But here is a choice. You get to honor someone free will, freebie. In fact, you're supposed to outdo each other. You know, talking about Chinese, you know, so Chinese, we have a game. You know, it is a real game. You know, we go outside, we have a meal, then all the uncle will fight to get to the bill. You know, I don't know whether you've seen it. Only Chinese are all like, oh, no, 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 my turn, you know, because they want to honor you. That's the Chinese way, Oriental. You know, it's honor to take you out and I pay for you, pay for the bill. But in the Aussie, do we go Dutch or not? You know, it's like, hey, outdo one another in honor. How do you do that? So this is Romans 12. I like to go through the scripture, not try to edit my opinion. So let's read through, okay? Next scripture, please. All right, okay. Romans is about very structural theological system that Paul have to unpack. You know, you have scripture like the gospel is the power of salvation, you know, Romans 1, because it's all about the gospel. Then you go to Romans 3:23, you say, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So quickly, it's like all down here. God is up there. Glory of God, that standard, you know. And then Romans 5:8, they say, wow, how good it is. God showed his love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the gospel. While we were yet sinners, you know, we talk about AFL. When did Christ accept us? While we were yet sinners. And how do we accept someone? Not when they become goody-goody, you know? Not when they become Vineyard, you know, or Baptist. While they were yet sinners. That's where you accept, receive, and love them. And then Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is salvation, eternal life in Jesus. And Romans 8:1 say, now there's no more condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. So that's from Romans 1 to 11. It is a doctrinal, systematic ways of Paul explaining the gospel. Salvation is by faith, is a gift of God, the grace. And then sanctification, as in God has made us holy. We are the children of God. Those who are being led by the Spirit are mature sons and daughters of God. You know. Then Romans 12 is basically much. If you really believe in this, this is how you behave. So Romans 12 to 16 start unpacking that if you really belong to Jesus, if you are in this community, this is how you should behave. So that's what we're going to look at. Next one, please. This is where I think you get to read.
Therefore, I urge you, brother and sister, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship.
All right, the aim is we're aiming for Romans 12:10 is how do we devote to each other in brotherly love, and how do we prefer to honor someone more than us? So we have to start from somewhere. So the therefore can be therefore after the 11th chapter, or therefore, next one please. So after this, can you read this please?
Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
So when Paul writes it, he couldn't help himself. Time to time he stopped and said, oh, this is crazy. The mystery of God is so big. Oh, praise the Lord. He's awesome. When you read scripture, you need to be transformed to the point where you just, oh, you are God. No way I can figure out why you would do that. Only you, the great God of love, would do that. For from him, through him, the almighty God, to him all things, to him be the glory forever and ever. That's what doctrinal study should do to you, to transform you, that you keep breaking out in worship and praise. So it's after that, next one please. All right. So it's now reasonable, Paul say, now you know all this. Isn't it reasonable for you to give yourself up to God? It is a reasonable, logical exchange of what the glory of God given you that you should sacrifice yourself, not in death, but as a living sacrifice, so that every aspect of your life is a worship to God. All right? We have to start from there. Then we get to our relationship horizontally. Next one.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
So we come from the world. We come from the world, but God delivers from world and say, you no longer of the world. Stay in the world, but not of the world. And part of it is changing your mind and saying, not the world view. I'm not going to conform to the world. This is where I'm looking at. The world is behind me. This is where I'm looking at. When I walk in the world, I'm not of the world. That's what heavenly culture is, heavenly values. That's what we need to do. Then when we do that, as in not allowing the world to conform the pattern of our thinking, that we have a paradigm shift in the heavenly ways, we will then understand, approve, and test the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. We will walk in it because we are walking away from the world values. So we go to God first, then we turn away from the world because we don't want worldly culture to influence the kingdom of God. Next one, please.
For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith.
As I say, we all have equal values. Christ's blood was shed for you. It was shed for you. It was shed for the beggar down the street, the homeless. But we all have different function because we are given different faith. I'm not going to unpack that. It's just saying we have all equal values, but different faith, different function. So we need to assess ourselves, not to compete, not to compare, but to challenge yourself to be better of who you are with the faith and the function God gives you. All right? So the next verse, Paul unpacked that.
For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another.
Can you alone make a community? Even God, the Trinity, is in community. So that's why Jesus saved you and say, hey, I don't want you to be alone. This is your people. This is your tribe. Be nice to each other. You know? Be different. Because unity is about diversity. Unity is not uniformity. This is where sometimes religion gets it wrong. Everyone dressed the same, speak the King James, you know, thou shall not, whatever, you know. And then, you know what I mean. I've been to church, everybody wear the same tie, you know, same suit. I'm like, yeah. Different. So we belong to each other. That's community. So how do we do community together? Next one, please.
Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
So our value is simply God honors and saves us. But our function is different. So Vignette have a saying, everybody gets to play. But we all play differently. You know, if you're in a soccer team, everybody wants to be goalie. We're going to not score, you know, or everyone wants to be forward, then we're going to be in trouble in protecting. So that's the idea. Everybody gets to play, like, you know, when they sing harmony. I'm not a musician, but basically they're singing differently, but in harmony, in symphony, and that's the function. So you have a value. Every one of you, you know, Maria and I, like, we love diversity. If you don't come, we miss you. You know, we got a mixture, young and old. I just love that, a bit multicultural. You know, it's so good, you know, when you see Ray up there or Joseph singing with the 20-year-old, you know. Ray is like, I'm a professional musician. I can go, but he doesn't do that because a young one can't handle that, the rock and roll. You know what I mean? How good it is. He's like, I honor you, young one, because I'm a professional, but the way you play, I better slow down. That's honoring. He chose that and he gave the gifts of what he has, his experience and expertise. So when you break down, there's seven grace gifts. This is grace gift, not spiritual gift. So the function is the different faith and different gifts. That's how you function. You don't compete. You're just like, oh, I can grow in this. You know, I'll exercise my faith. I'll practice my prophecy. When I go to the street, you know, I just say, oh, I don't know who you are, but I just feel the Lord want to bless you. May I just share a word? So you practice and you grow that. And it's between you and God, but you are doing the heavenly thing in the community. So when we gather, it's to gather so that the tap, the flow of God will go in. You know, I just look at Ellie. She's going with a Rahab, all right? Not everyone's called to that, but she's called to that to give a random of kindness to the sex worker who's trapped. They know they're trapped, and we can't rescue them, but at least we pray for them, and we hope miracle will happen. That's random act of kindness. That's bring the heavenly culture invading the world. Next one, please.
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality.
So we all know we are called to love. But this is breaking down. This is how we love. This is how we relate to each other. We are all equal. All right? We are all equal value. Just because I'm standing here, I just walk in and say, oh, you look very formal. I like, is it because of the mic or my red pants? You know? But I'm equal to you. When I was born again, I didn't born again as a pastor. This is just my function for a while. You know, when I die, probably whether I'm pastor or not, it's not important. You know what I mean? That's the worldly text that we don't bring in to the church culture, the kingdom culture. But this is it. Love must be sincere, transparent, no hiding. You know, whatever is evil, push it away. Cling to what is good. This is in context. Then, together, how nice it is if we have a community, we kind of outdo each other. You know, do the Asian thing when I take you to the restaurant. Let's try to pay the bill. You pay, I will fight. You know, you just go for it. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I want to bless you. You know, pay it forward. And try doing it in the pub. You know, you kind of go coffee like, I'm just going to pay extra for the next person. And then the next person comes, is like, oh, it's already been paid. You're like, whoa, what was that? You know, do that for fun. It is fun. I've done it before. You will surprise people. And it's fun. It's $5. But it will like, you know, surprise someone. And do it with your brothers. That's what we practice here for. We practice so that we can take it out to the world. We practice so we don't keep it to ourselves. Like heavenly manna, you keep it to yourself. Nah, it will stink. Eat enough and then give it away. So that's how we do the culture of honor. We outdo because it's a choice. It's a love. It again, you know, the tap that we feel so much with God's love, we can't contain it. We have to open our heart and say, you can have some. You can have some. Not lagging behind diligence. Love, giving honor. You know, I'm married to a beautiful Maria. But I can tell you, some days it's hard. I'm just saying, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. On Sunday, you turn up, it's like, but it's all right. You just be real, you know. Let someone bless you. That's what I'm saying. All right? If you got enough, bless someone. All right? That's, again, not lagging behind diligent. It is a call for communities, just not personal. You know, some of you will be lagging a bit. It's all right. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's the whole thing. When we serve one another, we're serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Again, it's not easy. We will go through testing. We go through trials. Devoted to prayer, again, togetherness, contributing to the needs of the saint and practicing hospitality. Next one, please. There is next one. No? How can there be next one? Oh, my wife cut it short. So I like... All right, let me pray. Let me pray. There was next one, but can you see how hard it is? Can you? I mean, what an example. Let me pray.
Get special ministry later.
Father, Lord, we in your house. I know, Father, you love your children to laugh in your house, to pray, to worship, because you say that's the kind of true worshiper you look for. Our heart is postured to you, Lord. We are doing our best, but we know you have chosen us. We did not choose you. And because you chose us, our value is in the one that chose us. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, have chosen us. And he chose us to go and bear fruits. Fruits that will last. As someone says, the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit we get to give to each other. And it will last forever. And we come as your children and ask, Lord, will you build among us a community of honor, a community that we will devote to each other in brotherly and sisterly love. When we are lagging, when we are slow, Father, we will reach out to our brothers and sisters and say, I just need a bit of encouragement. Will you come and have a cuppa with me? Will you come and chat with me? Will you listen to me? And that's our heart desire, though. I know Maria and I have this desire that our community will be reflecting Christ's love, Christ's acceptance, forgiveness, and love. But we do it as brothers and sisters. No hierarchy. All equal, co-equal. But we just want to outdo each other in honor. So thank you, Lord.